It is great to see you this morning and to be able to share again from the front of Carmel United Methodist Church. Wow, let me say a few things before turning to Scripture and the message, just say a few things. That's one of the tough things. It's kind of like when you're doing a wedding. Some of you, I did your weddings, and you remember some of you said, well, it would be okay if you said a few words. Always one of the scariest times in a wedding, because they've designed everything else. They've scripted everything. We have it all lined out, but they never know quite what I'm going to say. And they're out of control. Well, you know, the pastor, Pastor Patty's out of control when she lets Greg come up here. But I just want to, first of all, say thanks for the privilege. Thanks for the privilege of being a part of this day in the life of your congregation. I continue to pray for all of you. You're in my heart and in my mind a lot. Last night didn't do much sleeping, quite frankly. A lot of things going on. I'm working on a devotional for my work with Horizon Stewardship, and that was kind of on my mind. But more was what was going on about us this morning. And simple prayer, we taught that prayer to you as a part of your campaign this year, your finance campaign. Lord, what do you want to do through me? What do you want to do through us? And that's become more than really a campaign prayer for me. I began to pray it back in 2013 when I was here, and we did a capital campaign with Horizons Assistance, and that kind of is what led me down that path. But I began to pray that prayer, Lord, what do you want to do through me? And it became more than just a prayer about a capital campaign, about giving. It became a life prayer for me. I pray it regularly. I pray it every day, try to start every day. Lord, what do you want to do through me today? God has a plan every day. Something's going on. God has something going on. I love Henry Blackaby. Some of you badgered me to pieces when I first came here about doing Henry Blackaby's study, Experiencing God. And we did a lot of wonderful things. I have a lot of wonderful studies that I have been privileged to be a part of through the years. But some folks just said, you and your staff have got to do Experiencing God. And finally, I said, okay, let's do Experiencing God. And one of the wonderful things that came out of that was the message that Henry Blackaby shares that says, you know, God doesn't just send us into the mission. God invites us to where God is already at work, invites us to join in the mission where God is already doing amazing things. And you're doing it, friends. You're doing amazing things, and what a privilege it is to see how you're doing that, to watch things through your online messages and following you here. I'm so grateful. It was great to see Jill this morning and her hosting me this morning. She said, well, do you remember me? Well, I remember her really well because we occasionally attend Fishers United Methodist Church, and Fishers is the less today because Jill is here on your staff. She is an amazing person. And if you haven't gotten to know her yet, I hope that you will. We were blessed by her ministry there, and we know that you're going to be blessed by her ministry here and all the ways that she makes a difference. But she preached occasionally there, and we just happened to have the privilege of hearing her share God's word. And so what a privilege it's been to connect again with her and with all of you. As I say, last night, not a lot of sleep, so I just thinking about expressing gratitude for so many people, just kind of naming people, some here right now, some who are living, some who are deceased, who had a part of my life and the ministry that I was privileged to be a part of in those years that we served here at Carmel United Methodist Church. And you know, when we look at life and as we start things, well, let me get into that a little bit later. Let me get into that just a little bit later in the message. But thank you again for the privilege of being here. We missed Christmas Eve here. If we're not here on Christmas Eve, there's always a hole somewhere in my heart, just quite frankly, and we weren't even in town. If we were in town, this is probably where we would have been. But we still miss being with you in so many, many ways, but especially Christmas Eve was always a special treat to be a part of worship here at Carmel United Methodist Church. Amazing music, amazing liturgy, all the ways you are celebrating the season and helping people to get in touch with Christ's powerful work in our lives. But thank you for all of that. As we turn to Scripture this morning, relating to kind of a message about endings and beginnings and gratitude, I turn to one of Paul's letters. We don't read this letter a lot in worship. Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, and I'm reading from chapter 5. Now, as to the times and the epochs, my friends, you have no need of anything to be written to you, for you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. While they are saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly like birth pangs upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But you, my friends, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. For those who sleep do their sleeping at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another just as you also are doing. But we request that you, my friends, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. And we urge you, my friends, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with all people. See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. God always blesses the reading and proclaiming of the Holy Word. Let us pray. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. You are the potter, and we are your clay. Amen. Paul has left us with so many amazing teachings. Year after year after year, we reflect on them in our devotion. We reflect on them in sermons. We reflect on them in songs that are sung. Paul had a very, very difficult life. He was born to privilege, and yet he never really lived out that privilege in his later years. He gave his life to Jesus Christ, and everything changed for him at that point. And what he reflected on, said, you know, what I thought was really important before is no longer important. What I thought was unimportant now is the center of my life. And he took on a whole new way of sharing and living. And he wrote and he taught, he spoke, he lived an experience of the Christian faith that few have ever experienced. And how grateful I am for the Apostle Paul, for his writings, his teachings, for his prayers and his amazing life. This chapter to the people in Thessalonica is a wonderful chapter. He's kind of thinking about, at this point, about that time when everything changes, when the Lord Jesus Christ returns and life begins anew as we get into all those inner workings. Study about that in the book of the Revelation. Lots of you wanted to study the book of Revelation. Probably my largest classes ever here when we did study the book. Never did it until the second or third year in any church I ever served, Ken. People always say, well, will you study the book of Revelation with us? And I said, well, yes, but I'd like for you to get to know me a little bit before we start studying it together. So we trust each other. We know you know where we're coming from and kind of where God is working in our lives. And together then we'll do this. So a couple, 3 years after I got here, we took time to really invest about 7, 8, 9 months in the book of the Revelation, and thinking about the future and about the life in Christ, the plan that God has for us. And what an amazing book it is, difficult as it is, only by God's Holy Spirit and lots of prayer and a lot of sweat do we come to an understanding and a practice of the truths we find there. But Paul has kind of distilled them a little bit here. He says, I don't want you to be uninformed, my friends, about those who have fallen asleep. Well, he's talking about those who have already died. And at this point, when Paul writes this, you know, there are Christians who have already died. They're in the first century. And they're beginning to wonder, well, I thought Jesus was coming back to get us. And so there began this experience of people beginning to wonder, well, what really happened? Has something failed? Did we misunderstand? And Paul wanted them to understand. No, there was no misunderstanding. We just don't know the timing of all these things. But he wanted them to be informed that the Lord Jesus Christ has a plan for our lives. And this chapter is a marvelous plan for living our lives. It includes, I just encourage you to go back there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Take a look. Take some time to pray over that and study it this week at your leisure. I know you got lots of time this week with all the craziness going on around us. Maybe it won't be this week. Maybe it's next week. But chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians, worth your time. Beginning or beginning, as we come to the end of a year, it is an appropriate time to think about this past year and to celebrate those things. Sometimes churches do a deep reflection on what has happened in the year to celebrate the things that have happened, some of the great things that have gone on as a part of the life of the congregation, the mission outreach, the education experiences, worship experiences that have been a part of your lives. What a privilege it is to do that, to reflect back on the past year and to say, thank you, Lord, and thanks to one another. What do you say there? Be thankful to your leaders. Express your gratitude to them. They've poured themselves into this. Paul didn't get a lot of thanks in his life. Not always a lot of thanks. But he encourages us to thank those who do lead us and pray for us and work with us. And they want to show us and lead us in the way of Jesus Christ. And he wants us to experience that. And you're privileged to have a staff that loves you and wants to help us together grow into the faithful disciples that God wants us to be, even greater disciples as God would have us to live it. But Paul says here, give thanks in all things. Gratitude. Whether it's the end of the year or the beginning of the year, gratitude is the key to a great life. And so I'd say think back on this year and take a moment. You got your phone out and you're already working on your lunch plans or you know, the flight that you need to take next week, or maybe it's even just the laundry list of things you need to do this week. Write down right now a few things that you'd like to express thanks for through this year. Perhaps it's something that a child said to you. Perhaps it's something that a spouse, if you have a spouse, said to you. Perhaps it's a neighbor, a coworker, a friend has gone out of their way to do something special for you. They've paid it forward in one way or another. Peggy had that happen just the other day. She was at Starbucks in the line to get her coffee. She likes to do it from the car. You know, I'm one of those people, I always go inside. I don't like to do stuff from the car. That's just not my deal. She loves to stay in the car. And so when she got to the door, she'd ordered her drink, and she got to the window, and the gal said, the guy just in front of you just paid for your coffee, paying it forward. She didn't know what to say. So I was in the airport the other day, and I just said, you know, I really owe somebody something. Somebody did something for Peggy, and so I just paid for coffee for the person behind me, and they didn't know really quite what to say. And I didn't even turn around to say anything beyond that. Just, you know, paying it forward is a great way to live your life, isn't it? To experience gratitude for all that has happened in our lives. This year, is there anything for which you are grateful, would like to thank God, would like to thank somebody else? Don't forget to thank other people. We want to thank God. We want to express that in our prayers. But living those out in the way we thank other people for the things they're doing and for just who they are. My mother just turned 102 last week. She's still going, she wouldn't tell you strong right now. She'd say, man, she's really going fast. And I don't know. She's had a tough second half of the 102nd year. It's been a tough year. But hey, what can you say when you're 102, you know? It's been a pretty good run. 101 and a half is a pretty good number. But she's still hanging in there. And she had one of her friends wrote on her 102nd birthday card, said, I wish I had known you forever. I had tears in my eyes when I read those words. I wanted to throw my card away. This wasn't the words. The words of the card were wonderful in themselves. Talked about her reflection of Jesus Christ in her life and how she impacted other people around her and all this stuff. But the final written word is, "I wish I'd known you forever." I don't think anybody will ever say that. It won't even be in my funeral. It just ain't going to happen. And my mother said, "Well, you know, son, you know, everybody has a different place. You know, some of us bring happiness by coming, others by going." And I've made a lot of people happy in my going, and that's, I'm grateful for that. But thinking about the year and the places where you have been blessed, expressing gratitude, it really is a powerful thing to do. You know, gratitude, number one, it honors God, because God has blessed us so richly. And when we take time to think about that and reflect on that and then express gratitude, that honors God, because God is always blessing us, friends. And if you don't have something to thank God for and to feel blessed about in this year, I call me, 317-696-3921. And I'm dead serious. Call me. Let's talk. Let's pray. I know it's tough for some of you. Some of you had a really tough year. We've lost loved ones. We've been through terrible, terrible tragedies. And yet, somehow, someplace, God is blessing us, even in tough years. When we express gratitude, we honor God. Secondly, we build relationships, because people like to be around people who are grateful. You know what I mean? When people express thanks for the things that you do, how do you feel about that? What's the common expression nowadays in response to thank you? What do we usually hear these days? What do you hear? No problem. Thank you in return. What happened to your welcome? I don't. Is that a bad word? Is that a bad thing to say? You're welcome. And yeah, I may want to follow that. Well, thank you too. I'm grateful for what you've done. But is it okay to acknowledge people and not just to move on to the next thought, but to truly acknowledge that someone has expressed gratitude? It builds relationships. I like to be around people who are positive. I like to be around people who are expressing gratitude every day. It's an exciting place to be. So it builds relationships. It also causes us to reach out and make a difference in the world. In the church, we call it mission. And wow, you all have been involved in the mission for so long. My knees are shaking a little less now. I tell you, I don't do this very much anymore. I'm in churches all the time and helping churches raise funds. You know, I think that's why they sent me here to you. They knew I couldn't preach, but they thought I could help you raise some money. Long time ago now. It really is true that this church is committed to the mission. And I thank you for that. You're involved in lots of places. One that's dear to my heart, I've been a part of the Operation Classroom. You're a major, major part of that mission to build a project school in West Africa, not to help kids get a job, but to help kids get an education that creates in them the spirit that they can go out and create jobs. Not send them back to their village to get a job at a sawmill, but to go back to the village and create a sawmill. Go back home to start a cottage industry, as so many women are doing in Africa right now. And just to encourage that, to nurture that kind of spirit. And I'm excited that you're a part of that. I've been a privilege to be a part of that for the last couple or 3 years. But thanks for all the ways you make a difference in mission, because that's what happens. When you're excited, when you're grateful, you want to do things for others. So it extends the mission. Thanks for all the ways that you do that. So it is appropriate as we close a year to think about, where have we been blessed? How can we express our thanks? And how do we live a grateful life into a new year? So there's where we get to the beginning. The beginning of 2019. These years just keep flipping by, it seems to me. You know, you look familiar to me. Everybody looks familiar to me at this point in my life. It's difficult. But then the pages have to flip over and try to figure out from where does she look familiar? Where does he look familiar? You know, trying to put it in context. And scariest thing is to meet you on the street and it's like, I recognize the face, but the name will not come. And part of the reason I left here, Jill, 4 years ago tomorrow night, I left here at 10 till midnight. They didn't tell me my key would not work after midnight, but I was here trying to get things out of the office, finishing everything up, 10 till midnight, 4 years ago, just kind of closing things up. But one of the reasons I felt I needed to leave, I no longer could see you three times. When you came to worship three times, I usually knew your name, I knew your kids' names, might even know your dog's name. But, you know, that just doesn't work anymore. That part of the brain is just kind of evaporated, I guess you'd say. So if I fail to call your name today, please forgive me. But that was one of the things I always was grateful for, the gift of memory and remembering names and being able to relate to you as a person by name and to you and whoever was important in your life. But difficult. As we think about the new year, think about, for what will you be grateful this year? You say, wait a minute, it hasn't even happened yet. It doesn't happen to have happened yet. Let's begin to plan the places where we're going to be grateful, where you're going to invest yourself, where you're going to give your life away, where you're going to plug in and make a difference for somebody or some bodies. And that's going to be one of the places where you're going to experience gratitude in the year 2019. And you know, it doesn't matter who you are, what you do, you'll find ways to do that if you put it at the center, make it a focus in your life to express gratitude. Peggy's a farm girl. You may or may not remember that. One of our sons still lives on the family farm, her family farm. Her parents are now both deceased. Her father died almost 37 years ago, and so we didn't have that many years with him, but I worked for him. I was the hired hand that married the farmer's daughter, you know, all the stories. It was truly a charmed life to be a part of a farm family and get to know them. And her dad was an incredible guy and an amazing Christian, wonderful farmer. Looked just like Bing Crosby, had a voice just like Bing Crosby. If you heard him, saw him, you'd say, really is a doppelganger for Bing Crosby. You young people wouldn't have any idea who Bing Crosby is, but us old people do. But anyway, one day we were sitting or standing out on the porch looking out to the west, and out to the west is the Wabash River. And Lloyd's theory was that, you know, when it was supposed to rain in July, it probably wouldn't. Remember, he's a farmer. So, well, we're probably not going to get any rain. He said, looking out there, he said, you know, what always happens is it gets out there to the Wabash and then it just kind of splits. Part of it goes up there to Vigo County and some of it goes down to Davies County and we're just high and dry here. You know, I think that's what's probably going to happen today. So anyway, he was always talking that way in July. And just, see, you know, I was always the eternal optimist. I say, but Lloyd, have you ever had a year like this? Well, no, but this might be it. This might be it. You know, farmers, and we talk about farmers a lot, you know, they tend to look at life very skeptically. And as a matter of fact, it really is a scary place to be. I've lost money in making decisions about when to sell crops and when to plant crops and all the different things that happen on the farm. It's a pretty scary business. But you know who some of the most hopeful people are in the world? Farmers. You know, every April, he took a couple of months off, and January, February, we'd got the crops all in from the year before. We're kind of settling back. He'd take a little trip to Florida, come back energized and ready to go. What'd he do? He bought seed, bought fertilizer, made all the plans, gets the tractors ready to roll, and what's he doing? Planting a crop. A hopeful way of living our lives. Farmers, they're hopeful every year. They may grumble in July, but in January, February, and March, they're planning and thinking and praying and trusting God for something special. And I guess I would encourage us to do that same kind of thing. So we look into the year 2019. Where would you like to sow a few seeds in 2019? Where would you like to harvest a crop in 2019? Let's invest there as we begin the new year. Living in gratitude, experiencing the joy of knowing where it all comes from. Ultimately, everything is a gift from our God and our Savior Jesus Christ. And what a privilege it is to experience that and to know that and to live that out. I know Pastor Patty said I had 30 minutes to preach. I was probably done a long time ago. But at this point, I'm going to stop, and I'm just going to, again, encourage you to take a moment today or tomorrow or next week to reflect a little bit on 2018. Where has God blessed you? Where do you need to express gratitude? And then to flip the calendar and think a little bit about where you want to plant some seeds, some gratitude seeds for 2019. Let's pray. You are blessing us continually, Lord. Even in the midst of our struggles and the tragedies and the heartbrokenness of 2018, you've continued to be there with us and for us and in us. Lord, allow us the eyes to see and the ears to hear the messages you have to guide us into this new year, the ways that you will invite us into the mission, the ways that you will invite us to join you where miraculous things will happen. We give you thanks for the privilege and the invitation. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.